quaesumus, ut eustem fidei firmitati ab omnibus semper muniamur adversis. We beseech you that in the firmness of this faith we may ever be protected from all harm. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Very dear faithful, since Christmas we have been following our Lord from his birth, his epiphany, through the long preparation of Lent for his passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. All of these are magnificent manifestations of God's mercy towards men. And now, Holy Mother Church directs our attention to the source of these gifts, the Most Holy Trinity, from whom everything proceeds. Spontaneously, there rises to our lips the hymn of gratitude expressed in the introit of the Mass. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and undivided unity. We will give glory to him because he has shown mercy to us. The mercy of God the Father, who so loved the world that he gave it his only begotten Son. The mercy of God the Son, who to redeem us became incarnate and died on the cross. And the mercy of the Holy Spirit, who deigned to come down into our hearts to communicate to us the charity of God and to make us participate in the divine life. In today's Gospel, our Lord tells his apostles that all power in heaven and earth is given to him. In his commentary on this Gospel passage, St. Thomas Aquinas explains to us that this power always belonged to our Lord by virtue of the hypostatic union of his human and divine natures. After his resurrection, when he completed the mission given to him by God the Father, what our Lord had as Son of God from eternity, he was now able to exercise in time over all of us through his humanity, without holding anything back. For this reason, we read in the book of Revelation, "The Lamb that was slain is worthy to receive power and divinity." This honor given to our Lord in his humanity is important to us, given that as our Lord has promised us, he has not left us destitute and helpless. The night before he abrogated the Old Testament, through his passion and death on the cross, our Lord instituted the sacrifice of the New Testament. At Pentecost, he sent us his Holy Spirit so that we would have a guide into the fullness of truth. In fact, we have no reason to envy the apostles or anyone who knew our Lord in person, because we truly have here present all-powerful God in our tabernacles. This great power of our Lord Jesus Christ has its origins in God the Father. Now God exists by himself. Nothing brought him into being. He did not bring himself into being. He has always existed. God exists, period. It is not difficult to prove, but to stay on today's topic of the Trinity, we will not enter into this proof today. God is being, sustaining himself. In other words, he is being who generates himself eternally. Since he generates himself, in an absolute sense of the term, he is his own Father. He is from himself and in himself his own Father. Now, without a son, a father cannot be a father. So God, while being his own Father, is also Son. Since God is being that generates himself eternally, we can in him distinguish a being who generates another and a being that is generated, which in God is one and the same. In God we can distinguish one who generates and one who is generated. The Father and the Son, however, are together one and the same God. It is not impossible to understand if analogically we consider ourselves in the process of thinking. The thought that we produce when we think is distinct from our intelligence. This one thought is not our entire intelligence. We are persons composed of matter and spirit. The thought that we produce when we think is distinct from our intelligence. The one thought is not our entire intelligence. We are persons composed of matter and spirit, while our thoughts are entirely spiritual. The fact that we have a distinct thought does not mean that our intelligence is splintering itself into tiny pieces. On the contrary, a thought that we can call our own, produced by our intelligence, proves that our intelligence is one and whole, generating that thought, even though it is a spiritual thought in a being composed of matter and spirit. Our Lord tells us that God is spirit in John chapter 4, verse 24. In a similar way, the procession of persons in God does not demolish the truth of the unity of the divine nature. In God, who is spirit, the thought that he has of himself is identical to himself. This thought of a spiritual being is itself spiritual and of the same nature. God knows himself so perfectly that this knowledge of himself is itself of the same divine nature. We are bound to say then that the thought that God has of himself is necessarily God himself. This thought by which God knows himself as the Father is the Son. Thus, Son is the word of the Father and the word of God. Do you mind taking your child out, please? I'm sorry, your child is being disrupted. The Son is therefore the word of the Father, the word of God. God knows himself by this eternal word, who is one with him, while at the same time being distinct as his thought. It is because Jesus is the Son, who took human flesh as the word of God, that he can reveal the mystery of God to us. While this in itself is difficult to comprehend, there is more. It is by love that the Father can generate the Son, and by which the Son can love the Father in return. This mutual love between the Father and the Son is as spiritual as them and shares the same divine nature. This spirit of the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Our Catholic faith affirms one God in three persons, of which each is the same God, while remaining distinct from the others. It is incomprehensible, but it is not contradictory. Today's feast draws us to praise and glorify the three persons of the Blessed Trinity, not only because of the great mercy they have shown to men, but also and especially in themselves and for themselves. First, by reason of their supreme essence, which had no beginning and will never have an end. Next, because of their infinite perfections, their majesty, essential beauty, and goodness. Equally worthy of our adoration is the sublime fruitfulness of life by which the Father continually generates the Word, while from the Father and the Son proceeds the Holy Spirit. The Father is not prior to, nor superior to the Word, nor are the Word and the Father prior to or greater than the Holy Spirit. The three divine persons are all co-eternal and equal among themselves. The divinity and all of the divine perfections and attributes are one and the same in the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. What can man say in the presence of such a sublime mystery? What can he understand of it? Nothing. Yet what has been revealed to us is certain, because the Son of God himself, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. But the mystery is so sublime, and it so exceeds our understanding, that we can only bow our heads and adore in silence, or the depth of the riches of the wisdom and of the knowledge of God. How incomprehensible are his judgments, and how unsearchable his ways, exclaims St. Paul in today's epistle. He who, having been caught up into paradise, could neither know nor say anything except that he had heard secret words which is not granted to man to utter. In the presence of the unspeakable mystery of the Trinity, the highest praise is silence. The silence of the soul that adores, knowing that it is incapable of praising or glorifying the divine majesty worthily. It is because God is love that he has created us. If he did not love us, would he have created us? It is again because he loves us that he came to pull us away from the power of Satan. Was there a better way for him to show us how far he was willing to go than by giving his life for us on the cross? Once dead, his pierced heart allowed the last drops of blood and water to flow forth, as if to tell us that even after he died, he did not stop loving us, to wash away our sins, and to give us his life. Can divine revelation be any more beautiful? It is because God is love that he allows us to participate in what he is. God has not created us for any other reason than that we would know him and love him as he knows himself and loves himself. Thus we can share his interior, spiritual, happy and eternal life, that we can rejoice eternally with him, in him, and through him. What destiny more beautiful than this can there be for our existence? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.